All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Senator Sherrod Brown believes in our shared freedoms, our American values, and our right to the American dream, not just for some of us, for all of us. That's why he's fought back against rising costs, capping the price of insulin, and introducing laws to crack down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. This November, let's stand with Sherrod Brown, a proven leader who has always put us first. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
The cold one. Jameson, pretty classic. We'll get to everybody's super chats coming up. Let's bring in our man, John McMullen, live from the Lincoln Financial Field, who just heard the press conferences. Johnny Mac, do I got you, brother?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Good, man.
Oh, good.
John, first takeaways, man. Eagles blow this game 22-21. They fall to 1-1 on the season. Just your initial reaction to how this transpired. It all went south for the Eagles, John, in the last 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I would say even, you know, they had it down to about 145, yeah. And they threw the pass to Saquon Barkley, which, guess what? That's a good play call. He's open. You're the best player on the team on this given night. Got to execute. Got to catch that football and the game's over, essentially. So, number one, that's the first problem. However, once Saquon Barkley makes that mistake, maybe his first mistake of the night, got to pick him up. That doesn't mean you have to give up a touchdown in 65 seconds for a team that couldn't move the football at all. So, Vic Fangio's defense. So, my first take is collapse, you know, easy catch for Saquon Barkley, drops the football, and then 65 seconds, it takes a hobbled Kirk Cousins to go down the field. Just, I have tremendous respect for Vic Fangio, but I don't even know what they were trying to accomplish defensively on that last drive. It was egregious all the way around.
John, here's my take on that call, though. Absolutely, if he catches it. But if you don't call it and you run it, you burn 40 seconds off the clock. You kick the field goal, and there was 26 seconds left in the ball game. They would have been squeezed with the clock. If you play the high percentage play by running it and then kicking it, you get 2-for-1. You burn the clock, which is the enemy of the Falcons. They had no timeouts. And then on top of that, okay, you kick for points. Instead, you get nothing out of that. So, I mean, and you turn the ball around and they stop the clock. The worst thing you could have done there, and you're right, he's got to make that play. But the play call for me was to run the ball, kick the thing. You get 40 seconds off the clock. You got to burn that clock down because they have no timeouts. And then you turn around, like you said, hey, John, even Troy Aikman was saying this. You're playing 12, 13 yards off on the corners, and you're playing like 23, 24 yards in that two-high safety. He was playing pitch and catch the entire time down the field. I mean, some of those passes were uncontested on the sides. They got beat on. How do you get beat, John, on the numbers?
You got to – bare minimum, if you're going to get beat, you got to get beat inside. So inside. You're at least taking some time off the clock. Yeah, it was a very poor performance, you know. But to your first point, look, yeah, they could have ran the ball. They could have played it conservatively. That's not who the Eagles are. I think, you know, if you think about from the, you know, prior to kickoff, the biggest cheer for this Eagles team was for Saquon Barkley. These people were fired up about seeing Saquon Barkley. And on top of it, he has a great game. He's playing great again. to the point Xander's giving away another jersey. Didn't come to fruition, but he was playing a great game. You get the point. I think he had five targets. The first four he caught, everything going perfectly. Look, that's easy, Dan. I'm sorry. I know people like to blame the coaches, like to protect the players. You're throwing the football, easy pass, open, work, play call works. Execution isn't there. I say all the time, people do not judge play calls. They judge play results. That's a good play call. Kellen Moore went and won that game. Saquon Barkley let Kellen Moore down, not the opposite. And then the defense let Saquon Barkley down. You know, they could pick their teammate up and say, all right, he led us to this point. We got a 6-point lead. Let's get off the field. We got a hobbled quarterback on the other side. They haven't been able to do much. And for whatever reason, they come out with that plan. So, yeah, I get why people want to blame the coaches. This is not a coaching loss. That game was won. That game was there. That's a 3-yard catch. That's a simple catch for any running, for a poor receiving running back. That's a simple catch. And one of the best dropped it.
How about this, John? Okay, you've got one of the best place kickers in football. Instead of tossing the football down the yard and trying to get a 35-yard completion.
Yeah, I wouldn't have taken that shot.
Needed only 14 yards to try to give Elliott a high percentage play. I mean,
yeah, they were about 14, 15.
Made a 50-yarder.
His career is 61. He needed about 14, 15 yards to at least give it a shot. And you've seen the way kickers have kicked in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. It's like 50, 55 yarders are chip shots. They needed 20 yards for that. I have no idea why he took the shot there. Bad overthrow, and Jesse Bates made the play. Yeah, I agree with you. That was a bad shot by Jalen. Yeah, there's not much. You know, played a pretty clean game other than that. He tried to take a shot. Devontae was open. He just overthrew him. Yeah, bad play.
Hey, John, Jalen, I got
one more question. John, I tell you, I'm really disappointed in the two defensive tackles versus the run. I mean, this is now going on.
Yeah, they haven't been good against the run at all.
I mean, and what you do is you put those backers where you already know you're limited in talent back there, John. I mean, in the first half, Bijan Robinson was at 7-2 a clip. I mean, your thoughts again on the two tackles. This is a second game, and really, if you want to go back to 23, we're talking about 12, 13 games now. Were they giving up a boatload of yards against the run?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know this defense, Dan. They're willing to give up some running plays to keep the explosive plays off the board, which they were able to do. But when you start to get up at 150, and that's where Atlanta was, you know, that's a little bit too much. And you got to correct things. Now, the Eagles ran for 186, so this was a run-heavy game on both sides, but a lot of the Eagles stuff was quarterback-related, Jalen-related. It was just Bijan Robinson and Algier. You know, the biggest play of the game I thought was going to be C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who can't tackle anybody in the open field, and all of a sudden he acts like he's Ronnie Lott on a 4th-and-1. And I'm like, where did that come from? And
he just destroyed him.
Stuck Bijan Robinson and sent Bijan backwards. That I thought was going to be the play of the game, and now it turns out to be a footnote. But overall, I'm with you. That partially it's scheme related. They're willing to give up some running yardage. That's part of the philosophy. But they're giving up a little bit too much. And I think, you know, Jordan Davis hasn't played as well as I expected. Jalen Carter hasn't played as well as I expected. And the linebackers are okay, which is an upgrade from where they were. But they're still not Fred Warner. So I think people have to understand that. So there's going to be some issues there.
John, after last
week. You know, the funny part, at one point, guys, they had run 27 offensive plays in the fourth quarter to 4 for Atlanta.
Yeah, John, on that 17-play drive, I thought the Eagles iced the game after that. 17 plays, 9.5 minutes. I thought Eagles took back control.
And then they came off that and got the 4-and-out. That was the CJ play. It wasn't a 3-and-out. It was a 4-and-out on the 4th-and-1. And they got the ball back and started driving again. That was like a 10-play drive. I thought the Falcons were dead in the water, but they gave them that little sliver. And you're right. If they just run the ball, yeah, they're probably going to win the game, even if they don't convert, because they're going to burn, you know, time off the clock. Although it only took them 65 seconds to score. So that, I mean, yeah, you can't even say that 100%. So, I mean, if you're Vic Fangio, and I love Vic Fangio, I mean, come on. And I know everybody's hyper-focused on Nick because he's the head coach. Now, because I saw somebody when I popped on before you guys were talking, he threw Kellen Moore under the bus. This is what people wanted. He didn't throw Kellen Moore under the bus.
Exactly what I said, John.
He's saying he's the offensive coordinator. He gets to call the plays. This is what everybody wanted. Now, could Nick usurp him in the moment? Yeah, he's the head coach, but he didn't. That's what you wanted. That's Kellen Moore's call.
I mean, John, it's a shit setup.
I agree with that.
I mean, you know what, John, think about this. Last year, he made up some infamous story about the Seattle deal, about that play up there. All of a sudden now it's like, that ain't me, that's him. Boy, I'll tell you, you got to turn around and look at somebody and go, how was that, and you're not all in this together here as an organization, and you walk in there and you take it on the chin together, him doing this. And again, you're right. And Xander, you're right. You're going like, hey, I don't make all the play calls. That guy does. You're pointing fingers?
Well, I don't think he was pointing fingers. I think
he did. He said offensive coordinator made that call, not me.
Well, he did. So I guess my question to you would be, what do you want? You don't want him calling the plays. He didn't call the plays. Now you got the guy you want calling the plays, and he let him call the plays. And by the way, the guy who called the plays made the right play call, and the player screwed it up. So I would go away from the coaches on this one. Away from the coaches. That was a perfect play call that was not executed.
That if you don't execute it, John, the consequences are you stop the clock and you give them time if it's not executed. Where a higher percentage play is run the ball, kill the clock, because the clock is your enemy, and you kick the field goal and you get the points and you take them and have them have to go the distance with less time. I don't know, man. I might take that option. That I burned more time off the clock. Scoring a touchdown there, you're right. It takes the game out. And again, it's aggressive play calling. It's totally aggressive play calling, especially in a situation where you weren't scoring a lot of points. Hey, it's one thing if you were in a game like you were with Green Bay and you're going 30 points, 28 points, and you're going back and forth and you're putting points on the board. Points were at a premium tonight. They weren't putting any points on the board because of what you said, John. Look at the amount of rushes by both teams. You knew the clock was your enemy. You had to get I think you had to burn the clock, and you had to make Cousins, who, like you said, he's non-mobile. And again, let me flip it over here to you though, John, and say this to you. Dude, the pass rush, where is it?
Yeah, John, it's
where's the Eagle? John, where's the Eagle pass rush?
We gave him more than a week long. I guaranteed it that Bryce Huff sack. I apologize. It hasn't been there. You had one nice rush from Milton Williams. You know, ironically, on that same play where Milton got through for the sack, which was the only sack of the game, I don't know if you guys saw that, but Bijan Robinson chipped the hell out of Nolan Smith. He put him on his ass. A 215-pound running back who later in the game got got stopped in his tracks by C.J. Gardner-Johnson. How is he stopping Nolan Smith on a chip block? But he was. Yeah, it's time to start asking questions about Nolan Smith and Bryce Huff. Where are they? You know, what's going on with this pass rush? I think that's legitimate. Even Jalen Carter, to a certain extent, hasn't played the way I expected him to play. But it's only two games. I mean, I do think people – it's a very small sample size. And the pass rush hasn't been there. It can't continue like this. No question about it. You had a stationary target for the most point. No pressure on them when it mattered most, with letting them go down the field in 65 seconds. And once Kirk Cousins gets comfortable, he's accurate.
John, that's 311 yards in 2 weeks rushing that front's given up on top of the non-pressure.
Yeah.
You think it's more scheme? Because, by the way, like you said, Milton beat a pretty damn good player, Ned Lindstrom, on that arm over. That was a really nice pass rush. That's a really good player that he beat on that pass rush. So that was a good sign inside there. But they were spot moments for that front. So, John, do you think it's scheme, John? Or do you think really it's player ability? Or do you think they just need more reps in this scheme?
Well, they don't need more reps in the scheme because most of the guys have been here and they're playing the same scheme. It's just a different teacher and play caller. But they've been playing big scheme now for four. This is the fourth year. So for the guys who've been here, that's not an excuse. And Bryce is new, maybe a little bit for him. But, I mean, he's got to show something as far as the pass rush goes. And he hasn't. And, you know, they had two hurries today, two quarterback hits. Not good enough.
Brandon Graham's
been their best defensive front player so far this year. And Brandon, to me, is criminally underrated. But this is his 15th year, and he's obviously, this is it for him. And, you know, he shouldn't be the best player.
John, is it? Is it? Because I'll tell you what. I mean, he keeps playing like this. I want that guy to come back because, like you said.
Well, I'll tell you what. If they pay him, he'll come back. He loves to play. Okay. But, you know, it's most likely a spinal year. There's no excuses for the pass rush at this point, other than what I said, small sample size.
Go ahead, John. I'm sorry for interrupting you guys.
You got 15 games to go. There's not a period put on this sentence. Josh Sweat is a good player. Something will break out at some point. Jalen Carter's a good player. Something will break out at some point when it comes to the pass rush. With Hop, we got to see it. With Nolan Smith, we got to see it. It'll get better. I can't tell you when, but it'll get better. Will it get good enough? That's the question.
Would you make a Quinyon Mitchell's game?
I thought it was good until the end.
Hey, John, for two games, I got to tell you, man, I thought the kid Teron Arnold was going to be the better prospect. And I saw him get torched in that Buck game on Sunday, too. I'll tell you what, man, the kid can play. He's a good player. And for only 120 minutes of football, you know, he's going to go through bumps and bruises, but he surely looks like their best player out there. And for Slay to get eaten up on that last play on a very, very simple route that he had there, Drake London, I mean, this kid Mitchell looks like he's their best player back there.
Well, he gave up, I think, two before that on the other side. So I think everybody was to blame on that final drive in the secondary. But up until that point, I thought he played very well. And then for whatever reason, but he's a very young player. I mean, as you mentioned with Terrion Arnold, they're young players. They're going to make mistakes. He made mistakes, situational football. You have to understand the situation. You have to you can't give him the sideline, as you mentioned. You have to keep him inside at least if he's going to catch a 15, 20-yard pass, at least make sure 30 seconds comes off the clock or, you know, you're making him speed up. Some of these things, letting them get out of bounds constantly. Like I said, 65 seconds.
Incredible. It took them.
It's unbelievable, John.
They left too much on the clock to the point you're talking about, oh, the Eagles have time to get Jake Elliott a 61-yard field goal. That's how quickly they scored.
With no timeouts, John. No timeouts. Yeah, unbelievable. I thought the Falcons were going to start running the ball down there with seconds left because they had gotten down there so quick because
we know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Senator Sherrod Brown believes in our shared freedoms, our American values, and our right to the American dream, not just for some of us, for all of us. That's why he's fought back against rising costs, capping the price of insulin, and introducing laws to crack down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. This November, let's stand with Sherrod Brown, a proven leader who has always put us first. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
They left, like you said, John, they left too much time on the clock. I didn't think they were going to – they probably didn't think they were going to get down there that fast. And
no. No, it was bad. I could not believe it. Yeah, it was really bad. And, you know, sometimes you wonder, you play the whole game and you're effective in pass defense for the most part, and it all falls apart. We've all seen that happen in the NFL. You get a little bit too conservative. And yeah, they should have went and tried to, you know, ironically, the offense tried to go win the game, and they didn't. And the defense tried to go lose the game, and they did.
John, I got to ask you about quarterback one, Jalen Hurts. Your thoughts overall on his game tonight, and then the turnovers, another turnover tonight. I know otherwise he played a clean game. But look, the turnover comes at a costly time. You got to read the room.
There was too much time left.
That's what I'm saying. There was still 20 plus seconds, and you had a timeout.
Yeah, and you only needed, as I said. Now, there's no guarantee Jake's going to hit another 61-yarder, but at that point, you just want an opportunity to give him a chance to go win the game. And they had – three plays probably at least.
Yeah, I think at least.
To try to get that 15 yards. Yeah, I would have kept that one in the holster. But he tried to make a play and overthrew it pretty dramatically. Yeah, it's bad throw. Bad throw.
What'd you think of his overall game tonight?
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good considering no AJ Brown. And boy, we haven't even talked about this. This offense is brutal without AJ Brown.
Oh my God.
Xander, you and I talk about this all the time. Best pure football player on the Eagles. And for whatever reason, I don't know, because of his personality, and ironically, he's a nice guy. He's a very thoughtful guy, especially for the stature that he has in this league. I don't know. He's underrated. People don't think he's as good as he is. Certain Eagles fans, he's good. He's as good as his reputation, maybe even better, because every time he's not on the field, they're a stinking disaster in the passing game.
I'll tell you something, John. I checked out Birds 365, and you said something that was so apparent tonight, in my opinion. And you tell me if you thought that it played a factor. Most of the time when we get our game plans, you get your install book or your game plan with all your trends and such on Tuesday. And then you Wednesday, you start practicing and you go in to all that and you start practicing who you're going to play against, tendencies and trends, like I said, Brown set, strong side set, whatever. And you get throughout the entire week, and by the end of the week, you're in a walkthrough. When you have a player of A.J. Brown go out on a Friday and you have to reinstall a new game plan or at least a new approach, and then you look at the actual productivity or lack thereof, one catch for Dotson, very few targets for Paris Campbell. You had Covey, but he had 23 yards on like six catches. They were like two-yard catches, and the rest of them went to Devontae Smith. And obviously, that is where it became predictable again a little bit, where if you're Raheem Morris, you know exactly those other guys aren't going to beat you, John. I mean, I was talking to Xander about this. Look, this is what you rolled out there. Devontae, Jahan Dotson, and Paris Campbell. I'm afraid that's not going to frighten me if I'm a coordinator. Goddard, I thought they were going to get him going with the first pass across the middle. I liked it, but John, how much do you think that played a factor in tonight's game plan that they had to have a complete reinstall over the weekend?
And I asked Nick about that after the game. When you lose a player of that magnitude as a late scratch and your game plan's already installed, because the last thing you want to do is say, all right, we're going to replace AJ with Jahan Dotson. I mean, that's not good coaching. So you got to rework things, and they reworked it. The only two guys that were targeted in a meaningful way were Devontae and Britton, which tells you Jalen Hurts trusts Britton Covey. You know, and you mentioned, 6 for 23 is mainly RPOs and bubble screens. Two of those illegal men downfield came on bubble screens that Covey hit, that, 10 yards.
John, were they both on Juergens?
They had three. Two of them were on Juergens. One was on Lane. They had three of them. And two of them were plays that worked to Britton Covey, and they were just got downfield too early. So I asked Nick about that as well. So those were the guys. And a little bit of, Saquon from the backfield, who caught four passes. Again, 21 yards. And he missed the final target. He missed. He dropped. And Dallas only had three catches. Their longest catch was 19 yards. No explosive plays. They count explosives as 15 plus, so they'll count it. But most people would say 20. When AJ's not in there, there's such revisionist history on last year because of what it went and the 1-6 spot. People forget the offense was tremendous in week 16 and week 17. They were top five in every single metric, yards, points, you name it. Against the first game against the New York Giants, which they won, the only game they won down the stretch, and the game against the Arizona Cardinals, which they lost because the defense was atrocious, but they performed offensively. When it really got bad was in the first quarter of week 18. And that's when AJ went down with the knee injury and he didn't play the rest of the game. They couldn't do anything. And then the Tampa in the playoff game couldn't play. They couldn't do anything. And here we are. They're a little bit better equipped because Saquon's here. But in the passing game, they got a tough time doing anything meaningful other than bubble screens to Britton Covey and flare passes to Saquon Barkley and the occasional decent throw to Devontae Smith. But it is versus what it usually is when he's on the field, it's like pulling teeth when he's not on the field.
No doubt about it. John, what was your thoughts on Darius Slay getting burnt by Drake London on that final play? What'd you see there from Slay?
I got to look at it again. It did look live like he got beat pretty badly. And Drake's not a separation guy.
Yeah, it wasn't a complex route. I mean, I don't know. Slay got caught watching or something.
Yeah, so I have to see it again. But it wasn't. I mean, again, 65 seconds. They went the length of the field. And Slay was the last one, and he's the best player, so you expect him to hold up a little bit better, and he didn't. But, I mean, to me, that's the story, right? I mean, your best player on offense, chance to win the game, drops the football. Arguably your best player on defense, not the position he should be in. So, yeah, it's disappointing. And they shouldn't have lost this game.
No doubt about it, John. Yeah, no doubt about it. 1-1, John. Now we got the Saints, who just beat the Cowboys in Dallas. And then you have the Bucs. What's your level of concern coming out of this game? We got two tough games before the bye week.
I got to see. And we did ask Nick about AJ.
Yeah, because ESPN kind of reported on the broadcast.
Boy, Aikman on the broadcast said that he's not going to be available for the Saints game.
They're in trouble. They're in trouble if he's not out there. I think you saw that. They're in trouble, especially against the Saints. You know, maybe you can win a game like tonight against Tampa because they're not terribly explosive. The Saints are going to score some points, and the Eagles aren't equipped to score 30-plus points without A.J. Brown. I think you saw that tonight.
Yeah, John. I heard you say this on your show too. Do you think with the new install of the new offense with Kellen, do you think that they still have the mindset of going deep? And without AJ in there, boy, those deep explosion plays, they're just like non-existent. Do you think they're getting away from that too much and isolating more on these checkdowns? Because that's all they worked on in camp. Was really, remember the conversations we all heard, John, and what you were being told was, hey, Jalen's taking what the defense is giving. Well, okay, I understand that. But do you think they've gotten away from explosion plays?
Well, they did today.
Is it too early?
Yeah, I mean, they had a 67-yard touchdown to AJ Brazil. But again, I mean, they tried to take a shot to Devontae at the end of the game. But, yeah, there weren't many shot plays. But they're a different team when he's not out there. So, I mean, it opens up. Look, and I think Devontae Smith is a great player. And Xander and I have had this discussion. He could be a wide receiver one in this league. And, by the way, I'm watching the Barkley drop again on TV. That's egregious.
Yeah, it was
why is anybody complaining about that play call? I'm sorry. He's wide open.
Well, because I think both of you are right. I think if you're a coach there, you do your best to mitigate any problem. If a problem can happen,
or you go win the game. You need to put the ball in the hands of your best player. Go win the game.
I get
The Detroit Lions fans disgusted me last year when that organization was trash for so long. And they get to the cusp of the Super Bowl and actually outplay the San Francisco 49ers and should have won that game. If players who made plays the entire year simply made plays in big spots in the NFC Championship game. But everybody focuses on Dan Campbell, fourth down, going for it. And by the way, if they execute the plays were there. If they just made the plays. But they want to blame the head coach because they won't want to blame the players. If it wasn't for the head coach and his philosophy, the Detroit Lions wouldn't even be in that game. To be in a position where he gave them the position to go win the NFC Championship game. And they didn't do it. Same thing here. Much lesser stakes that the offensive coordinator gave Saquon Barkley, who I said, you know, they were, you should have heard it, the cheer when he came out compared to even Jalen Hurts. These people were fired up. He was playing a great game, and he put the ball in his hand to win the game. And it was right there, and he didn't make the play.
John, let me ask you something, though.
Final question, Phil. We got to wrap up with John.
Okay. What my question would be, what's a higher percentage play? That flare pass or running the ball and killing the clock? Putting points on the board where you don't
– Why is a flare pass to a great football player not a high percentage
play? It's a high percentage play versus turning around and handing it and having 40 seconds go off the clock.
If I make a three-yard swing pass to Justin Jefferson, is that a high percentage play?
And that's
what am I going to do? Walk the football over to the best stinking player on the team and say, "Oh no, go sit there because I have no trust in you." Hey, the player, you're a player, Dan.
Wait a minute, I'm going to pull a Brady on you. I'm pulling a Brady on you. Brady's going to take the high percentage play in that play, and he's going to burn the clock.
How is that not a high percentage?
He dropped it. The reality is he dropped it. The clock stopped. They gave him the game on that play because the player didn't execute.
Yeah. How is it not a high percentage? The play is higher risk, higher reward.
Turn around, you hand the ball to the guy, 40 seconds is off the clock, you kick the field goal,
and then you lose 10 games because you're so damn conservative in an era of modern football.
I'm not talking about 10 games. I'm talking about that play.
It's a high risk, high reward play. Sills is talking about the risk. Johnny Mack's talking about the reward. Both of you, in a way, are correct. John's right. If they complete that pass, which should be completed, it's Saquon Barkley, for crying out loud, the game's over.
Reality, so to mitigate the clock the
downside. Yeah, reality. They're trying to mitigate the downside. I think both of you are correct.
I'm dealing in reality. The clock stopped, and it gave them more time.
To call that, I'm gonna jinx myself. But after I get off here, I'm going to walk out to the parking lot in Lincoln Financial Field, and it's high percentage I'll get to my car. But a car might hit me.
If you cross 95, yeah, there's a better chance that a car will hit you.
He wasn't crossing 95. He was strolling in the park. He was strolling up. To call that a high percentage play.
He dropped it. Right. So instead of turning around and handing it to him and the clock burns, the clock stops. The reality is it gave them more time.
So he dropped the easiest pass in the history of the world, and you're blaming Kellen Moore?
Because, in my opinion, all you had to do was turn around and hand the ball, kick the field goal, make the guy have to go with 40 seconds off the clock.
And they only took him 40 seconds to score, 65.
At the end of it, John,
I guess that really doesn't matter.
We got to let John go. We got Birds 365 in the morning. The guy's working hard. John, just your final thoughts here from this game.
Bad loss. Almost unforgivable loss. But it is only week two, and you can make up for it. And that's the NFL. I thought it would be a one score. Here's the thing. You know, the Eagles are not going to do anything differently in a similar situation. And if they do, that's when I'd criticize Nick Sirianni and Kellen Moore. They're going to try to win football games. They're going to try to be aggressive. They're going to try to put the football on the players they think can go win games. And that's what they should do. Sometimes the ball, you know, it might be a deflection on a pass. There's a randomness to it. A guy who's going to catch that 99 times out of 100 drops it, and the whole thing changes. But that shouldn't change your philosophy. And that's why I brought up Dan Campbell. You know, that philosophy got you to where you were on the biggest stage. And players didn't execute. I'm so sick of people blaming coaches because, and I say this all the time, win, lose, or draw, it's players first. Players first. Coaches aren't playing. There's some bad coaches that can screw up games. But if you execute in that particular game, both offensively and defensively, the Eagles win.
John, thanks for joining, man. We'll talk to you in the morning on Birds 365.
Thank
Great
you, John.
Stuff tonight. Appreciate you doing it, Johnny Mac. We'll talk to you in the morning. All right, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, there's John McMullen joining us on the Jacob Postgame Show. Sills, we're going to hit a commercial break. Before I let you go, just your final thoughts, and then I'm going to run through some Super Chats with everybody else. Thanks, everybody in the chat. I will not end the show tonight, everybody, without reading every single Super Chat. I'm going to let Big Sills go to bed. Look at him. He's got his hair going crazy. I'm all jacked up on Eagles football. Philly, it looks like he needs a day off.
Hey, man, I'll tell you, me and John going back and forth.
That was great stuff from you and John. Everyone called me a politician. Here's the truth. I think you're both right. If you're a coach, why not get rid of the downside there? But John's right. You make that play, the game's over. Okay. Forget the field goal. The game's over.
But, Vader, if you had been scoring points go back and forth and you had been putting a lot of offense up, you had 18 points at the time. Okay, you had 18 points.
Right.
You're not scoring a ton of points.
I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I totally get what John's saying. If they make that catch, we're not even sitting here having this conversation. We're celebrating an Eagle win. That's good. But anyway, let's get to our commercial break. So we'll come back, put our final thoughts on the show, and then I'll go to the chat, and I'll even bring some people up from the chat if you guys want to join me on the show, on the post-game show as well. So stay tuned, everybody. Back in 3 minutes.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.